Let us begin with verse 24. Paul declares, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind, or that which is lacking, of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This will be the final message on the series we have been doing, Christ in You. And it is entitled, The Hope of Glory. Verse 27, Paul speaks of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This final message will be divided into two parts. Today we are going to see that this hope of Christ in you is realized at this present time, in our day. Next week we will find that this hope of glory is for final glory, eternity. And so the first thing that we need to understand, want to understand, is the source of such glory. And that source of glory is, of course, Christ, the Word of God. Paul indicates that here in these verses. As we see in verse 25, he speaks, whereof I am a minister, that is, of the Word, according to the dispensation. He's talking about this dispensation of the grace of God, the Word that has been committed unto him, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. Verse 26, he calls it a mystery, which has been hid from ages and generations. Paul's gospel was hidden in the Old Testament. All of those years, those prophets and those who wrote it down did not understand it. It was kept hidden and obscured until God revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And so it was hid from ages and generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. That means unto us that we are able to understand those wonderful Old Testament types and shadows which are a direct reference to Christ himself. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And then he tells us what it is. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now John also connects the Word and the glory and Christ all together. We'll not turn there, but you remember the citation well in John 1:14. The Word, that is Christ, was made flesh. He became Jesus, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth is the glory that John saw. This is what is embodied in Christ. And this, of course, is what we must have in our life. The glory of Christ in you is indeed grace and truth. This same glorious message that Jesus had. The same message is found in Luke 4, 21 and 22. Again, we'll not turn there, but you remember how that Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. After that, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And Scripture says he went into the synagogue and he stood up for to read. He read from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. And when he finished, he said this. He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Again he is seen full of grace and truth. This is Christ. This is the hope that we have in our lives. And so as we read in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this is what we must have manifest in our own lives at this present time. As we will see next week, there will be tremendous glory manifested in eternity, but the emphasis of this message, you and I are to display the glory of Christ Jesus in our own lives today as we walk around with our everyday lives. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 3:3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." Notice the experience that he had. Thou art a shield. You are my protection. There is an interaction here between the psalmist and the Lord. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. And then he says, my glory. It means he claimed it for his own. It's the same truth. Christ in you, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. Acts 4:13, we read these words after Jesus had died and been raised again, and after the day of Pentecost, and these apostles are preaching Christ. They're going forth and doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. And now then, this is what the elders, this is what the authorities observed. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What did they see? They saw the grace and the truth that was in them, just as it was in Christ. This is what God wants to have in our lives. We too must demonstrate the fact we have been with Jesus, and indeed His life is manifest in this mortal body. Our lives must reflect Christ in you. He is the hope of glory, and that glory has to be manifest in our lives today. Paul enlarges on this same glorious truth in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. 2 Corinthians 3. We will read verse 18, the very last verse of this chapter. And Paul says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory." It's the same truth as he brought forth in Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it is that glory that must be manifest in our lives. I want to go through some of these things that Paul mentions in this chapter because it tells us how he arrived at this glorious conclusion. Before we go to those verses, I want to see, first of all, the beginning of Christ in you. We have saw this in a previous message, but let us understand that the glory that God put in us really began when we were born again. And so notice verse 4 of, or verse 6 rather, in 2 Corinthians 4. Let us go down to verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." God implanted the very glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in us when we were born again. We spoke of earlier of it being a treasure in this earthen vessel. That is, this body which we have. Here is where God placed Christ. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But as we have seen and as we will continue to see, this glory and the fullness of Christ is not manifest in our lives all at one time. And so I want to notice the process, the way that Paul gives such a glorious background here in coming to his final conclusion in verse 18. Let us back up to verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 3. And he is speaking of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament or the New Covenant, not of the letter or the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter or the law killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Paul is going to make a contrast of two glories, as we will see here presently. He's made us ministers of the New Covenant. The main character, the very substance of the New Covenant is Christ Himself, as we are going to see here presently. He is the New Testament. He is the New Covenant. And Paul says, not of the letter. When you see the letter used in this manner, it simply means the law. Not of the law. Paul was a man who understood the Jewish religion. He understood the law. He went to the depths of it. He was exercised in it. This is why that I'm sure God chose this very unlikely man to show why that the law was given in the first place. And he did exactly that. And he showed how that the law must give way unto Christ Himself. And indeed it does. And so we are ministers of the new covenant. The entire gospel of the Apostle Paul, that same message that was hid in ages past, is now come to light as Paul's gospel, and it is about Christ Himself. So he's the minister of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If you will jump down to verse 17, what does Paul mean by the Spirit? It's not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We are talking about a person. We are speaking here of Christ. And so when Paul says that it's not of the letter or the law, but of the Spirit, the letter kills. And that's absolutely the truth. There are countless people who think you can find life and even eternal life by obeying the law. The law is just the opposite. It kills. It's a message of condemnation, as we will see. The letter kills. Only the Spirit gives life. That is Christ Himself who gives such life. Verse 7, if the ministration of death, he's talking about the law. If the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, and it was. Go back to the time that the law was given, when Mount Sinai just erupted with the very glory of God. It was not a glory that drew the people near. They stood afar off. They were absolutely terrified of it. But it was glorious, and Moses described such glory, saying, I was afraid of it. It was glorious, so the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. This is a separate experience. It happened after Sinai, as it were, erupted. And Paul enlarges on that just a little bit in order to show how it speaks so wonderfully of Christ in contrasting the two glories. And so Israel was not steadfastly able to behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance. And you will notice which glory was to be done away. Paul tells us here the glory of the law was to be done away. It was not going to stand. And he begins to explain, verse 8, how shall the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? If the law was glorious, but the Spirit superseded it, then that means that the glory of the Spirit supersedes that of the law. Verse 9, if the ministration of condemnation, that would be the law again, be glory, much more that the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Yes, the law was glorious. God demonstrated His presence, and people could not deny that. But the ministry of Christ is far greater. Verse 10, even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excels. Paul tells us here that the law has no glory in our lives. That is absolutely the truth. The law can never produce the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. There are those who continue to clamor after the law out here in Christendom. But the law is a ministration of death. It has no glory. It will not produce any glory in our lives unto God. Only Christ can do that. Verse 11. If that which is done away was glorious, and it was, much more that which remains is glorious. And then Paul goes into this wonderful analogy and the explanation and the declaration of Christ in regard to Moses. Verse 13. And not of Moses, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. And you remember the story, how that Moses was up in the mount. And when he came down from the mount, his face was glowing. That is, there were actually beams going out, as the margin says. His face glowed, and the people were terrified of him. And in order to speak to them, he put a veil over his face so that they could not behold that full glory. Here Paul tells us what that meant. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. He means as long as they had the veil over their face, they were not going to see that God had abolished the law in order to bring forth Christ. This is the harm of law today. If people look to the law for anything, they are not looking to Jesus. It's that simple. And that's the problem. That is why that they will never understand and experience the full glory of God. They are looking to the law. And so they cannot see that God abolished that law in favor of His own Son, Jesus Christ, the glory of the begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Only Jesus can claim that glorious title. And so they could not look to the end of that which is abolished. Verse 14, their minds were blinded. And people who think that they can be saved by the law or made righteous by the law after they become a Christian are blinded. They do not see the truth, and they will never experience the fullness of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Their minds were blinded, for until this day, and Paul is talking about his present day when he was battling to show the Jews and the Gentiles that the law has no quarter. The law has already done exactly what God intended for it to do. It is finished. It is done. But until people see that, then they still have a veil over their face. And so their minds were blinded. For until the day, this day remains the same veil untaken away. Notice, in reading of the Old Testament, they don't see Christ in the Old Testament. He was hidden there all along, but they don't see it. And Paul brought it to light, and it is still there for us to see today. And he says, this veil is done away in Christ. The only way you get rid of the effects of the law and this ministration of condemnation is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 is glorious hope, and believe me, this is going to happen for the entire nation of Israel. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, he means the hearts of Israel, when it or one shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. One day Israel as a nation is going to accept Christ, and the veil will be removed from their eyes, and they too will understand what it means, this glorious truth that we have, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 17, where the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And it means liberty from everything that would enslave us. Liberty from death. Liberty from sin. Liberty from any kind of a habit. Liberty from sickness. One day, liberty from this frail physical body. Liberty, all liberty or freedom is in Christ Jesus. Then we come to verse 18. But we all with open face. When he says open face, he means we don't have a veil that is spread over Moses' face. Remember, Paul tells us that this glory that Moses had is an expression of the glory of Christ Jesus. This is what God wants in every one of us, that we must display this same glory in our own lives. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's how to get it. We are with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. What's the glass? It means a mirror. But this is a very special mirror. James describes the same glass, the first chapter of James, and he calls it the perfect law of liberty. It means the wonders of the gospel of divine grace. When we look into the Scripture, we must see Christ. That's what the entire Bible is about. He's hidden in the Old Testament. He's brought to light beautifully in the New Testament. And the entire Word of God, the Word of God which was made flesh, which dwelt among us, is full of grace and truth. It's all of the Word of God. This is the glass. When we look into the mirror or the glass, we should see Christ. But this is an amazing mirror. As we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. It's surprising what some people see when they look into the Word. Some people look into the Word in order to find passages that are going to straighten somebody else out. They look in with a critical eye as to how can I make my point? How can I demonstrate that I'm right and they're wrong? Beloved, when we look into the Word of God, we better see Jesus. It's that simple. We must see Christ. And when we do, there is an amazing effect upon us. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. When we gaze upon Jesus constantly and continually, we begin to be transformed into exactly the same image. So that when we see our image, we're actually seeing Christ. That's what God wants us to see. That's what God wants the world to see. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He wants that in our lives at this present time. You will notice we are changed from glory to glory. And I realize that sometimes we may have to draw a line in the sand to see if there's any movement at all. But here we can be very much heartened. God may see things, and He does see things that we simply do not. Sometimes others see changes in our lives that even we do not see. And I think God does that on purpose. If we really thought that we were changing by leaps and by bounds and, oh, we are really going great guns, we might become so conceited that the work would stop. The fact of the matter is, we are being changed from glory to glory. Do you know what makes that change? We are to look into the perfect law of liberty. That is the Word of God. All of those wonderful expressions of the Scripture that we saw in Colossians concerning the mystery and Christ being hid in ages past and all of these things. The Old Testament refers to it this way. It is line upon line, line upon line. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Our transformation into this image of Christ depends on how much of the Word of God we let Him work in our lives. As we claim this message, continually gazing upon the glory of Christ that is found in the Scripture, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. And then notice the very last part. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I have heard that saying over and over again. What would Jesus do? And I'm really not fond of that because it means that people try to figure out what Jesus would do and imitate Him, and that's not the life of Christ. The life of Jesus is a reproduction of Christ's life in me. When the life of Christ is reproduced in me, you don't have to ask what Jesus would do. It is just simply reproduced, and we respond in exactly the same manner that Jesus would respond, and you will notice, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God did not charge you and I with changing ourselves. We wouldn't know what to change anyway. We are changed by the Spirit of the Lord as we look constantly and continually into the Word of God. It's just an amazing metamorphosis that takes place in our lives because the Spirit of God is changing me from glory to glory. So I will sum it up this way. Only the power of the Holy Ghost can produce this same Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit of glory. It's the Spirit of grace and truth, as we've already seen. Only the Spirit of God can produce that in me. My only responsibility is to literally gaze continually into this wonderful glass, the Word of God. And this glorious mystery, which was hid in ages past, becomes very much manifest in my life, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He produces Christ in me, the hope of glory, and He is doing it today.